This episode of the Profit Express is brought to you by Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. So please visit my good friends at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. Well, hello and welcome to the Profit Express. I am Tim Healy, and I'm inviting you to join me each and every week, so together we can win the battle for business. So thank you so much, as always, for sharing some of your time with me today. And don't forget to follow me on the show on Instagram at The Profit Express, also on Twitter at Profit_Express, and of course, The Profit Express Facebook page as well. And each and every Wednesday, we're dropping new episodes. So certainly stay tuned for that and keep following us on social. Thanks so much for that. Now, for the entrepreneurs listening today, and I know there's many of you, you understand the importance and the value of building an online community. You also know that it's not an easy thing to do because it's so important connecting you, your products, and your services to your community, to your clients, and to your customers. Actually, there was a global WebEx survey that came out that actually said most consumers prefer the online community to social media sites. And they cited reasons such as it's a better format to engage in meaningful conversation. There's more mutual respect. They have better senses of being appreciated and being heard. And it creates a better sense of belonging. And that can all happen if you do it right, if you can create the right online community. Now, it's funny because I came in contact with today's guest with another online community that happens to be a friend of the show, and they are Movers World. And real quick, they're a group of people and an online community that supports creators and artists and comedians and actors, and they help them with their craft. They help them promoting their craft. And I just happened to be on their page not too long ago, and I saw a video for today's guest. And it caught my attention. I'm watching it. I'm like, wow, this is a really interesting story. And so I went to today's guest. I went to their Facebook page, and it's called Dine-Long Island. And I was really shocked to see just what a prolific community it had. Oh, with almost 27,000 members. I mean, I know a lot of business owners and entrepreneurs who are listening would kill for that. I would kill for that. And not just 27,000 members, but they have engagement over 220 on average engagements a day. Now, as a business owner myself, I always look at the numbers, and those are really impressive numbers. So it's funny how one online community introduced me to another online community. And certainly I had, you know, developed trust and confidence and rapport with Movers World. I follow them. I respect what they do. And it put me in touch with today's guest, who is Elisa Gudis, and she is the founder of DineLI. So it is a real pleasure to welcome her aboard today. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Did I butcher the name?
Yes.
Oh, you know, I'm so sorry.
It's okay. It's Elisa.
Alyssa, shame on me. I feel, let's just get out of the way right now. Elisa Gudis, I saw a video of yours, as I just mentioned, on Movers World, right? And you not only have put together this community at DineLI of almost 27,000 members, you've done it in less than 2 years, and you and I have chatted before the show. But to me, what's even more amazing is, and correct me if I'm wrong, you and your team are all volunteers.
Yes, we're all volunteers.
You're all volunteers. Okay. And also, correct me if I'm wrong, you basically have done it, I'll say basically, without a marketing budget. Is that safe to say?
Yeah. 100%.
Okay. So you have, everybody who's listening is like, what is she doing? What kind of secret sauce is going on there? Because even if I just speak for myself, I'm jealous to almost 27,000 members. So let's talk about you for a moment. Your background, because it's very specific. So tell us about your background, and then what is the mission for Dine Long Island, DineLI?
So my little background, I've been in the food and beverage industry for a little over 10 years. I started as a cashier at an Italian supermarket in Woodbury, worked my way up to the bakery.
Right.
And then I decided I always wanted to be a history teacher. And I'm like, I need to be a history teacher. I don't care. That's what I'm going to do. Went to school for a year to be a history teacher, just like everybody else when I was in college.
Right.
And I kind of had like an aha moment. And I was like, I don't want to be $200,000 in debt and come out with no job. Because at that time, like the teaching market was like, it was almost impossible to get a job.
Right.
And I was like, all right, well, I'm always going to have a job in the food business. So let me go to culinary school. So I completed a year at my old college and then went to culinary school out in Suffolk County, Suffolk Community College. So
right. It
was a wonderful, wonderful program. I had so much fun when I was there. And I was actually able to obtain a bachelor's degree as well. Even though it was a community college, they partnered with SUNY Delhi, and I was able to get my bachelor's degree in food and beverage management, I think it is, something along those lines.
Right.
And so kind of started out, I started my own baking business when I was 18 years old, still in business today. I'm in my ninth year of business. It's not something that I do like full time at this moment. But I go back and forth with it. When I'm in between jobs, I'll go back to doing it full time. It's really just like my side hustle. And
it's your side hustle, right? Okay.
Yeah. And I call it my gas money job. So I've always been connected in that way to the food and beverage industry. And then 4 years ago, it was 5 years ago, I said to myself, I'm like, all right, I don't want to do this forever. Like, I love it, but I don't love it enough to make this a career.
Right.
And in school, I was taking wine and bev courses, and I was like, all right, well, liquor industry is fun. My uncle's in it, so I'm very familiar with the industry. And I was like, all right, well, I want to be a wine rep. I want to sell wine. And little did I know that it was going to be probably nearly impossible to get a job in the wine field. It took me about 4 years to get into the wine and spirits industry. Yeah. It took me a long time to get into it. And when I finally did, I was like, I waited so long for this and I don't like it. So I was like, great. And then I finally got my dream job 2 years ago. And unfortunately, I lost it with COVID in August. And I was so excited. I was like, all right, I finally got my dream job. I worked so hard for this. Goodbye. And then I recently got another position back in the industry about a month ago. So I'm back in that. But I've always kind of kept the like restaurant food industry like really close to my heart. And this is kind of like how the group pretty much came about.
So then you've started in the business. You say like you're a cashier at an Italian market in Woodbury. You graduated to, you were promoted to the bakery department, which kind of got you experimenting with, you know, your a passion for baking. So now you have Dine Dash LI, and I want the listeners to hear you describe its purpose, because I think it's an amazing purpose. And I think that's part of the reason why you've really experienced such, I think it's tremendous growth. So what is the purpose from your perspective as the founder for Dine Dash LI?
So the purpose of the group really is to connect restaurants, all food-based businesses, I shouldn't just say restaurants, under one platform with consumers. So basically our mission is to help a struggling food-based businesses to launch a brand new business, really to just help this industry in so many different ways, because I just think the food industry is just like an industry that always gets overlooked. I have firsthand experience. I don't know what having a normal Christmas is. I don't know what it's like, you know, being able to just wake up on Thanksgiving and be like, oh, I can't wait for this great meal. I am so tired. And I'm doing this by myself. So I can't even imagine what like these restaurant and food-based businesses who have staff go through like during these seasons. And it's like, you know, we don't get the weekends off. We don't
right.
Family. Like we don't get all that stuff. And I just think it's such a labor of love. And I just feel like it's so unappreciated And so many people like don't kind of see that. And I feel like with my experience and my knowledge, I'm like, I can bring that awareness to the general public that, you know, all right, you had a server can have a bad day. Like you have a bad day all the time. So why do you have to go and, you know, trash a business when you can take that experience and we can make it and we can enlighten it, you know, and it's a lot.
So through your side hustle, your baking business, was that why you weren't, you know, you're working weekends and holidays and all that? Is that what you're referring to as far as your commitment on from the job perspective?
Well, like, I'm just saying, like, I just know how hard this, like, people in this industry work.
Okay.
I developed this platform so that we can really highlight and help the industry as opposed to tear it down, which is what people seem to do. It's one of the industries where if there's a problem, it's the first thing people write about. And that's what we're trying to sway away from.
You know, oh, so it's interesting. So as you're saying this, because I'm just a consumer of the industry, okay? Just we'll talk about for the restaurant perspective. And people are much more likely, I think in general, consumers are much more likely to send a bad review than to go out of their way to say, wow, I had a great meal. The server was just really polite, very attentive. We love to trash people, especially now with social media. Everybody feels they've got this big, great platform, which in a way they do. So now, because you have grown up through the industry, because you have an understanding and an empathy, you wanted to create this as a mechanism, as a community of support, right?
Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong on the timeline. You started this before COVID.
Yes.
Okay, so it's been in existence just like under 2 years or around 2 years?
Yeah, July will be our 2 years.
Okay. So I shared the stats. Again, this is the Profit Express. I'm the entrepreneur myself. I'm numbers focused. So you've got almost 27,000 followers. I've joined it myself. And the number of, because you can see some of the stats on Facebook, your average number of interactions per day is 220. Now I'm going to brag a little bit for you. So I was doing some research for the show. I won't mention any other names. So I just kind of on Facebook, and I'm not saying it was extensive research, but I did some research. And it seemed to me that there was three other, I'll call it dining food Long Island type groups that had followers in your neighborhood in like that 20,000 plus range. So that's considerable. You did, by the way, if you don't know, had the most amount of average daily interactions out of the four groups. You didn't know that? You should know that. Yeah.
I'm the one, I don't pay attention to, I don't even know what any of that means. I'm like, all right.
this is why I want to have you on. Because, and not that my other guests aren't genuine, but your volunteers, now who else is involved? It's you? Is there some family and friends?
It's me, my mom,
yeah.
My friend Susan, my cousin Dana, my friend Larry, my friend Nivea, and my fake profile, Dominique.
So you have an alter ego, Dominique. Okay. So it's a mom, a sister, your friend Larry, and it sounds like a cousin, you said, and then Dominique.
Yeah, okay. They're basically all family. I have my best friend since I was three. She's helping with the Instagram. I have, and my cousin Dana does the Instagram because I don't understand Instagram. And then I have my cousin Allie. She's doing the TikTok. So I try to keep this like a very, like, very tight knit and very, like, people I trust more than anything, like, and very. Right. Oriented to.
Well, that's what I love about this story, because it's so genuine. You know, you just have an empathy and appreciation for the business. And like I said, you know, as a consumer, you know, you go for a dinner, right? And most people have some of their favorite restaurants or restaurants they go to most frequently. And, you know, like on a Friday night, you know, and by the time the restaurant wraps up and you might leave the restaurant at 10 and, you know, how long does it take for the restaurant to close down and the money and the, you know, the kitchen and all this? It's an exhausting business.
Yeah.
I've never worked in it, but you can only imagine it. And then, you know, it's because one of the keys to success in business is consistency. You know, you got to have a good meal each and every time. And like you said, a chef, something goes wrong, timing, a server, and then you're going to inevitably have a bad experience. And if you think about it, because correct me if I'm wrong, the margins are not great in the restaurant business.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
But depending on what sector you're in, the most profit you see is 10%. And that's only
that's the high end. That's,
and yeah, it's like catering business, people who do things by themselves. That's like the top you could hit.
Really?
Yeah.
So most restaurants probably are not seeing 10%.
No, I have no idea, to be honest, but I would say probably 1-2%.
Really?
That's what I would think. Yeah. I just know it's like in culinary school, they told us like, yeah, you're lucky if you see 10%. And I'm like, okay.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So your numbers are great. So now everybody's listening is like, okay, the numbers are great. The next question, how do you build? Now you have a group behind you, your mom, your cousins, your friend. All right. You got help, obviously, which is great. And, you know, you're connected. You have a relationship there. There's trust there. How do you get to almost 27,000 members in 2 years? How do you do it? With no marketing budget.
So when the night we started this group, it was me, my mom, and my friend Susan. And
right.
We're like, we're just going to do this for fun. Like, let's just see what happens. And I've asked to be admins in the other groups, to be an admin. I exhausted every option, and then I just got so aggravated with something I saw one day, and I'm like, I'm going to start my own. I'm done. And I remember texting my mom, and I was like, I'm starting this group, whether you want to be a part of it with me or not. And she's like, okay.
And wait, so you actually want to join some of those other groups that are currently out there?
I asked them, I'm like, look, if you need help, like, I'm here to help. And I've noticed, you know, some of them are very area focused, and I'm like, I have another whole area I can bring in for you. Like, you know, a lot of them are Suffolk County based, some of them are the city based, some of them are, and I'm like, I have a whole like network of people in the areas you're missing, and I don't mind helping out or whatever. And they're like, no, we're good. And I'm like, all right. It never really got to me. And one day I just got so frustrated and aggravated after something I saw, and I'm like, you know what, I'm doing this myself. I'm done. Like, I'm going to do this.
I don't need them. Right.
Yeah. And so our first night, I remember we started on a Friday, and I was at a food truck event in Levittown. And
Wait. Why were you at a food truck event in Levittown?
I just like started the group, and then like, I'm like, all right, like this isn't like, I just created the group, and it's invited people to it. So like, as I'm in this food truck event, I just see like, all right, we just hit 200 members. All right, 15 minutes later, we just hit 500 members. 15 minutes after that, we hit 1,000. Then we hit 2,000. It was just like between my network and my mom's network and Susan's network. And then it's like people inviting other people to the group. And I'm like, all right, like this is going to be a thing. Like this is going to be something big.
Wait, so is your mom, was she also in the restaurant business, the food business?
My mom's in the linen side of the business. So she's on the phone with restaurants, hotels, bars.
Okay.
Yeah. So she tells her accounts like, oh, you should join the group. Is there, you know, to help? And so she's been doing that, I think, 9 or 10 years now. My friend Susan is not in the business, but she goes out to eat all the time, and she's friendly with a lot of restaurants. And
so she's kind of a foodie, if you will.
She's a foodie, and yeah. I needed someone because I was working full time. My mom was working full time. I needed someone during the day to monitor the group, and Susan has that ability and that freedom to monitor the group during the day while we were at work.
Right.
So it was a good dynamic when we first started, and then when this thing was growing rapidly, Nivea reached out to me, and Nivea does social media and like Instagram-y things. So I was like, all right, sure. That's fine. You know, you can help. And then I took on my friend Larry because I needed a male presence because like, you know, I'm very soft spoken and like, I'm not like a confrontational type of person. So I was like, all right, I need like a male to like even out if something
balance out a little diversity.
Balance this out, you know. And
okay.
So we are a woman-founded group, so that's kind of exciting.
Absolutely.
So yeah, we just took on Larry's like, and I know, and I laugh with him all the time. Like, you're just like the guy.
you're our honorary guy member here. Larry, so.
Like, he worked for restaurants.com, so he worked for a lot of restaurants. So, like, you know, everyone's related to the food industry in some kind of way.
So there are a lot of connections. People understand the industry in different ways, if you will. So when you reach out to other groups to say, hey, I can help. I have some great connections. I want to be an admin. They kept saying no. They kept saying no. You get frustrated. You start Dine-Li. You bring your mom on board. She's like, yes. So then was that food truck event in Levittown, was that like a kickoff event for the group? Is that what I'm...
No, they do them every Friday in Levittown.
Oh, so you just go because you're a fan?
Fun, you know, just it was like brand new at the time. Like, it wasn't something that was like a thing. Now it's a thing.
Right.
But like, I just like went because I liked going. It was just something that I don't have to worry about dinner for a night. So I was like, let's just go here. Like, there's all different options. There's always different trucks. And... So I really got frustrated, not because I wasn't an admin of those groups, like that didn't even bother me. There was just a negative connotation in a certain group. And it wasn't just a restaurant group. It was like a group for any type of business.
Right.
And, like, I don't want that type of feeling when I scroll through a group. Like, I like to see the positives. And listen, there's negatives to every situation, but
sure.
I just don't like that. Like, that's not the type of environment that I like to be around, because, you know, misery loves company. I don't like that. Like, I want positivity and to help. And that's pretty much what this group is about. It's really just helping out people and helping restaurants and building businesses and building brands. And, you know, we've done that.
Well, I mean, listen, everybody in America knows, you know, how negative social media has gotten recently, okay? For all the reasons that we all know that I'm not even going to discuss. So, and it's very easy, like you said, when there's one negative comment, people pile on, and it's very draining. I hate it. So it's refreshing to hear your perspective. So again, it's a platform where you're offering a voice, if you will, to the restaurants, to the food and beverage industry, and you know, all the companies that serve the industry, which are many. And then it also connects to the consumers. So I've been a member of the group just for about a week, and I've been going through and seeing it. And I have to be honest. So, I mean, there's, you know, people are asking for, you know, rooftop dining. They're asking for, you know, Easter ideas or catered events, you know, all these different questions, right? And the TIA, the thanks in advance, is very funny. And so I'm seeing this, and I'm personally not really a member of groups like this. It's the first kind of group like this. And I'm seeing one comment, one question had like 173 answers. One had 52 answers. I mean, and it varies, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm like, holy cow. So then it gets back to, so I'm going through this, and I'm in preparation for the show today. And it's like, well, how do you do it? So you have the initial, you get 200 members, you know, when it first kicks off, then it starts to grow. But listen, on social, you know this, things can fade out. Things can fizzle. Okay. You could be like white hot and then nothing. So now how have you sustained it? And it seems like it's continuing to grow by everything I can see. So how have you been able to sustain it for almost 2 years?
So I think my brain's always going, and I always think of new ideas. I always think of what can I do every day to make this better? Who can we help? If I see something really cool on Facebook, I'll, like, someone who's starting out or something, I'll reach out to them and be like, hey, like, I have this group, join it. And then, like, I think we kind of launched the charcuterie board thing. I reached out to the charcuterie queen. I'm like, you should just come on the group. And, you know, she started, and then like five others started. And then it's just like different trends really that goes on in our group. And I joke with my cousins. I have a group chat with my cousins and they're like, oh, so I guess the Whiskey Down Diner is a new Dine LA hotspot. And like, or it's like, oh, I guess it's, you know, how many charcuterie boards are we going to see today? And
So for people who don't know, because I didn't know, I was uneducated. Charcuterie board, explain what that is, because those are amazing.
It's like those, like, I don't know, like, I mean, I call them meat and cheese boards, but right. I mean, I just know them as antipasto platters, but they're not antipasto platters. I don't know. I'm not
there. It's like, is it like the new bougie name for it, kind of?
Yeah, I mean, it's,
okay.
It's like meats and cheeses, and then there's like grapes and fruit and dry candy and dried.
Yeah, they look beautiful. Yeah.
The whole thing.
Right.
So where was I going with this now?
I'm sorry. I jumped in. Sorry.
It's okay. I totally forgot. So we have to restart.
That's no. Don't worry about it. So, I was saying, you know, how do you sustain this? Cause you know, you got members. So what are you doing with you and your team to keep this going and to keep it vibrant and dynamic and living?
So I really have to say the pandemic helped us tremendously in terms of growth and like new things with it. So to give you an idea, right around this time, actually last year,
it's a year. Yeah.
Yeah. Around this time last year, I put a post up and I'm like, no coronavirus. Like, no, like, I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to know about it. You can see it everywhere else. I don't want it in here.
Okay.
And then I saw one of my old coworkers, he made an album of all of his accounts that had family meal deals or offering takeout deals. So that inspired me really to make an entire album of any kind of every restaurant I could find takeout and delivery menus. I put it all in an album. And then anytime someone was looking on like a mom's group or something like that, I would post, oh, join this group. They're all here. Like, you know, instead of getting the same response about the same five restaurants, you have an array of ones to choose from.
Right.
Then I was like, all right, this is getting a lot for me to maintain. And then I took 17 hours to make a 55 page list of every restaurant by town doing takeout and delivery with their phone numbers. And I just posted that on the group and I updated it every single day. And so then that list grew to outdoor dining, and then outdoor dining grew into outdoor heaters. And so like, it's just things like that I do. And then we have giveaways that we do. We do 3 giveaways a week, sometimes more if there's a holiday. And restaurants or food-based businesses give us gift cards to give away, or they give away packages. So it's like every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, people have something to look forward to, like looking forward to the next giveaway. And it's just every day I'm just coming up with like new things. I don't really know how I sustain it, because like this is just like, I mean, it's just like now we're doing featured business of the day. So every day at 9 o'clock, we feature a new business. We started that a couple weeks ago. Actually, not a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago now. So like on Sundays, like I'm going through all the, like I send the form to the restaurants for them to fill out. So every Sunday I'm like making the feature thing. So.
Wow. So a year ago, almost to the day, COVID hits. There's two things you said that were very interesting. So the first thing you said is, I don't want to talk about coronavirus on the page. And I think it was a smart move, because listen, it was everywhere else. It didn't need to be on your page, you know? So I agree with you again. I think it was a smart move, because I think all of us, you know, we were COVID out, you know, you couldn't escape it. And then the fact that you were able to help, you know, you originally set up a community page. Again, it's Dine-LI. Today's guest is Alyssa.
Alyssa.
Oh, God. Alyssa Goudis, who is the founder of Dine-LI. You're never going to come on the show again. I don't know why I have such a problem.
It's okay.
And the timing is perfect for you, because the Page was already up. It was already gaining momentum. It was already a strong page. And you're able to help one of the industries that was hit the hardest, the restaurant industry. Devastated. I mean, I don't have to tell you. Everybody knows it, unfortunately. And then you spend 17 hours putting together a guide on, you know, outdoor dining and then dining with heaters and so on and so forth to connect the community. Man, that is absolutely fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Today's episode of The Profit Express brought to you by Corbett Public Relations, promoting and protecting businesses and brands for over 30 years. So please visit my friends at CorbettPR.com. That's CorbettPR.com. So if you are the entrepreneur and you're listening to the show today, every entrepreneur out there knows or certainly should know the value of an online community. And there was actually, I came across a statistic not too long ago. It's pretty interesting. It was Global Web Index. And they said consumers in general are a lot more comfortable with online communities than social media platforms. And for all the right reasons. They're able to engage in more meaningful conversations, which today's guest is sharing with us in her community. There's mutual respect. There's a sense of being appreciated and being heard and a sense of belonging, which if you can create that as the entrepreneur for your business to connect to your community of customers in a meaningful way, that's just gold. That's absolute gold. Now, please, I'm going to have you introduce yourself and your name because I will not butcher it again. Today's guest, the founder of Dine-Li,
Alyssa Gadis.
Awesome. Thank you so much. Alyssa Gadis. So what do you think? I mean, this to me, your story would be a very interesting story without COVID, you know, just from the success and building it to what it is today. So as you go through COVID has affected, you know, the world, Americans, New Yorkers, in a host of different ways, personally, professionally, financially. You'd lost your dream job, you know, as you said, you were a victim too in your own sense. What do you think has been one of the biggest impacts, unexpected positive impacts that you have seen Dine-Li create because of COVID?
Definitely our Dine-Li Gives Back program. And I love this program. And what we did was we raised, if we're talking about both times we did it, we raised about $14,000 and fed over 150, frontline workers. So hospital workers, police, EMS, fire departments, basically anyone who was on the front lines during the height of the pandemic. And then we did it again this past January. And I never thought that like a bunch of strangers would entrust me with this much money to basically pay these restaurants to, you know, send food to these frontline workers. And we've helped a lot of restaurants. Like when they were closed, I was like, hey, here, like I have a unit of 20 people, how much is it to feed them? You know, here's money. Like, I had volunteers delivering, they would deliver it. So giving back is something like that's really important to me. And knowing that we, as a group collectively, we're giving back in two ways. We were helping a restaurant and we were feeding the heroes. Like really just like, it's a major impact, at least to me. Of what this group is and what the community we built.
So through the members, you raised $14,000.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what was the name of the program again?
The Dine-Li Gives Back program.
Dine-Li Gives Back program. And again, it was to give meals to obviously the frontline workers who were just, you know, crushed, you know, physically and mentally through all of this. And then you're reaching out to various restaurants. And then whether the kitchen was slow or maybe, you know, shut down or whatever it was, you know, you're getting some level of business back into that kitchen, breathing some life back into that business. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We have like I made like certificates for each of the restaurants and how they contributed to the Gives Back program. And I have an album in the group. So if anyone wants to support a restaurant who helped support the program, you could see what restaurants and what they did. Some were so gracious and donated the meal and just said, don't worry about it. Some gave us crazy discounts and some couldn't do anything. And that was fine because we had to really back it. So it wasn't a big deal. And like, every single penny went to that program. Like, I didn't keep anything. I didn't use it for when I did deliveries. Me and my boyfriend, we went to, I think it was like, we got a donation of a bunch of chips and fruit, and we made all these baskets, and we went to these random urgent cares all over like Central Nassau, and we're like, here you go, here you go, here you go. So like, I contributed myself too. It's putting these together. It also went and delivered to these people. And because they deserved it. I mean, they still deserve it. What they're doing, I would never do that. Like,
right.
I have no patience for that. But, you know, and just like, I don't know, just like being able to do that as a group and as a community, like, it's just an incredible feeling knowing that, like, I orchestrated this, like, cool thing, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and listen, I think it's more than a cool thing. I think you're being modest. I mean, you know, we there hasn't been a pandemic for basically 100 years. Unfortunately, it hits, and you know, you're doing what you can do in your influence in this community on Long Island. You know, raising $14,000. Now think about that. Raising $14,000 anytime is an accomplishment. But then there's also been a lot of people who've been laid off or furloughed, etc. So any level of a donation, you know, so that speaks to the community. So, you know, and that's, you know what I love about this is you're very humble about this.
Yeah.
And you're very, and I'm not saying this to make you feel good. I'm just, you know, because I deal with a lot of business owners. I've been blessed to have a lot of great people on the show. And your approach to this, and I'm saying you because I know there's, you know, there's your mom. So I'm saying collectively, okay. I know they're all helping. They're part of your team. Your collective approach is just, to me, is very genuine. And the thing about genuine and really caring for the industry, which I know you do, you can't BS genuine. You can't BS caring about an industry.
Yeah. I love this industry. Like, when I thought that I'd never work in it again, I would like cry. Like,
really?
And you know, there was a time where it was like November and December and I was putting out job applications and I was like, I don't really know what I want to do. I've been doing this my whole life. And then just like, it was just one time. There was a point, it was like a week straight, I was getting 5 rejection letters from jobs every single day. I was like, oh my God, like, I can't do this. And I was
That's tough.
Yeah, I was applying outside of my industry. So I was like, all right. I like thought about it, like, I must be meant to work in this industry. And to be honest, it's very strange, but I am not a restaurant worker. I've gotten offered a ton of jobs. Like, oh, come be my manager. Come work in the kitchen. Come be my pastry chef. And I'm just like, no, I'm good. Like, I just like, I just feel too, like, I have this big community. And I don't want to be biased to be like, oh, I work here, come eat here. Like, I want to help every single person in this industry. You know, even down to the servers who need a job, the bartenders who need jobs. I can't tell you how many messages I get a day. I need a server. Do you know anyone? I need a bartender. Do you know anyone? I'm like, no, I don't. But if I do, I'll send them your way.
There's a business idea right there. I'm just thinking, you know, if you're connecting people, that could be very valuable recruiting. But that's another story. Well, it's interesting because if you know, you're getting offered plenty of jobs, you know, to work in the restaurant, to work in a facility. But if you think about it, you know, like you said, your mom had in the linen side of the business. Was that it? Right. So, you know, it's an industry that has a lot of, you know, verticals that are part of it. And, you know, I think your role in what you're doing is obviously it's a part of it. Even though you're not, you know, you're not in it directly, but it's still a critical role. All right, let's have some fun for a second. I'm going to put you on the spot. You ready?
Okay.
Favorite restaurant?
Oh, no.
Peep, come on. You're the. You can't answer favorite restaurant.
There's so many different cuisines. There's so many different like price ranges. There's so many. That's a loaded question.
Okay, fair. Okay. Favorite Italian?
Il Posto di Joey in Huntington.
Wait, say that one again.
Il Posto di Joey in Huntington.
In Huntington. Okay. Favorite burger joint?
I don't know. I don't run out to get a burger. It was Dirty Burger in Plainview, but they closed.
Okay.
That's like the last thing I would order. So.
Do you like sushi?
I'm allergic to seafood.
Okay, scrap that. Okay, sorry about that. All right, so we got your favorite Italian. What will be another category? Give me another category. I'm like stumped.
Wings is Buffalo Grill in Plainview.
Okay.
They're takeout wings. They're not like a sit-in place.
Okay.
Mexican, I have to say it. It's on the border in Hicksville. I think they have some of the best Mexican food, even though it's like a chain.
Oh, Mexican. I didn't even think. Okay, yeah.
Asian, between Miko in Plainview or Toa in Farmingdale. What else is there? Fried chicken is the Chicken El Gogo in Massapequa for takeout. Meatball Place in Farmingdale for dine-in. Trying to think what other.
Wait, say that. Say the fried chicken. I love fried chicken. What's the fried chicken place again?
The one in Massapequa is Chicken El Gogo.
Really? The fried chicken's really good?
Yeah. It's takeout only, but it's delicious.
There's not a lot of good fried chicken on Long Island.
No. It's like really juicy, and they used to have a location in Hicksville. Obviously, I live in Hicksville.
right.
And then they closed prior to COVID. And they don't have the Massapequa location now.
So then what about like ribs?
Ribs? Something else I wouldn't really go at. Probably Smokehouse in Garden City, but I wouldn't run out.
You're not a rib person.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I'm very picky. Like, give me like French fries and I'm happy.
Okay. So who doesn't love French fries? Who's got the best French fries?
McDonald's.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Really? I was not expecting that. Okay.
McDonald's or the McCain bag I get at ShopRite that I make myself.
All right. So now this is interesting. It wouldn't be a restaurant, but just the actual food itself. If you could only have one more dessert the rest of your life, only one, what would it be?
Mint chocolate chip ice cream.
My son loves that.
It's the only thing I eat. I don't eat dessert. I just eat ice cream.
You don't
Ironically, I don't like dessert.
Wait, but you're a baker. You don't have a pastry or.
No, I would ice cream over everything. I'll eat chocolate chip cookies and stuff like that. But
yeah.
Cream overall, and I give it up for Lent every year, so I'm kind of dying right now.
All right, one more quick one. Maybe you've already answered it, but I'll still ask it. Favorite snack food?
Pretzels or saltine crackers.
Saltine crack. Now, what kind of a pretzel?
Any kind.
Any kind. It's not like, you know, like a sourdough pretzel or the pretzel rods. Right. Okay. And you like pretzels. Saltine crackers. Wow. That's interesting.
I'm an interesting character sometimes.
Hey, you got to be you. And obviously you are. And that's why you've got nearly 27,000 followers. Because people know genuine versus non-genuine. Okay. So you've been in the industry for a long time. Your family and friends are in the industry. Your mom is. As you're going through this, and you've been around for less than 2 years, which is still in the scheme of things, it's a short period of time. It's not that long. Have you had a mentor through any of this, or just in general with career, with life?
No.
No mentor.
My friend Carrie, he's probably my mentor because I kind of go with him go to him for everything, just because he's been really big help in the group and for me personally, but in terms of like a legit mentor, no.
Okay. So now, again, this is the Profit Express. Today's guest, Alyssa Gudiz.
Alyssa.
Alyssa Gudiz, founder of Dine-Li, nearly 27,000 members. If you're not a member, you should be, just from the host's opinion. It is an amazing community that has connected the food and beverage and restaurant industry, given them a voice, given them a platform, helped them out tremendously through COVID in a number of different ways, and connect them to the consumers, people like you and me. So now you've got this amazing following. You've got the interaction of 220 posts a day, which is some great traffic. Completely voluntary. Everybody's listening to the interview saying, wow, she's doing an amazing job. What are you doing to monetize it?
Not interested.
Really?
Yeah. I just have a feeling that if it's not the right, like the right opportunity to monetize it, but I just feel like money brings in a different focus to things. Like I personally feel like if I were to find a way to make money off it, it'll bring a different vibe to the group. And I don't want that type of vibe in the group, just because I've seen it happen in other groups, food related and not for food related, that once money is brought into it, the dynamic changes. And I don't want that. I mean, I get like ideas, suggestions daily that people are like, all right, let's do this and you can make money off your group. And I'm like, no. And like, listen, I know this is something that could be a $1 million idea. I know that. And it's just, I said this in a prior interview, but I have one shot to impress almost 27,000 people. It has to be that right shot and that right opportunity. And I care a lot about what people think about me and how they perceive me. And I like to think that everyone loves me. I know it's not true at all. And I know there's people who want me to fail. Listen, it's reality. I know there's people who want me to fail. And I put so much pressure on myself when it comes to that question. Like, how do I monetize this? Do I want to monetize it? I think like my admin team and I definitely deserve compensation from this, but I just won't take it. Like, we put so much time and effort into this group, and I don't know. I'm just like weird about it.
Well, to say that when something goes from volunteer to for profit, that it would change the dynamic. I mean, that's a reality. I mean, that's a very, it's a logical conclusion. Would it completely ruin the feeling of the group? I don't know. Maybe it wouldn't. But I know what you're saying. I can definitely appreciate what you're saying, because, again, for all the entrepreneurs out there who are doing it for profit reasons, you know, because an online community, when it's done right, and that's why I wanted to have you on, because you're doing it right, is extremely valuable. Now, you're doing it for some very unique reasons. You're doing it for your love and for your passion for the industry, something that you want to be a part of. And you're doing it to help. And again, you can't fake that. You can't BS genuine. And you and your team have done that. So, and I have to push you a little bit. Again, this is the Profit Express. But so, and people have come to you with ideas, obviously. I'm certainly not the first one who sees what you have.
Yeah.
You know it, your team knows it. So people have come to you with ideas. I'm sure some ideas have been better than others. Is there anything that could be an offshoot, or are there some, and you have to share details, but is there any offshoot that this could turn into for you? Because I think you guys deserve some level of compensation. I think there's nothing wrong with that, because you guys are putting in a lot of effort, a lot of time.
Yeah, I mean, I have ideas. I need COVID to end to really implement them.
Okay.
But it's definitely not my like intention or focus to be like, all right, I'm going to make money on this today. Like, no, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. It's just the group is, you know, growing, and it's, you know, staying the way I want it to be, and by positivity and, you know, now I think now we're at the point where we're building a brand to like an extent where it's like people are like, oh, did you see this on Dine LI? Or, oh, I follow Dine LI. And oh my God, you're like, people recognize me. And like, I'm not that person. I'm just like, no, like, I don't want anyone to, like, the masks are like great. Cause I'm like, all right, no one knows me. But like, it's funny too. Like, when I'm asked to eat and like, I overhear people like, oh, I saw this on Dine LI. And I'm just like,
So you've been in restaurants and you've overheard.
Brand. Yeah. So like, we definitely were building a brand. And I don't like, I love it to become a brand. Like, that'd be pretty cool. But I don't know if I have like the right, I guess like the right experience or the right, like I don't really know how to do it. And I just like, but like, I'm so passionate about this that I just like have to make sure it's the right thing and that I'm keeping everything, keeping the integrity of the group, keeping my integrity as a person and as this
right.
founder of this group. Like, this group means a lot to me. Like, these members mean a lot to me. Like, I feel like I'm so connected to everyone's life. And, you know, like, I have even my life. Like, I feel like people are like, oh, you're a celebrity. I'm like, I don't want to be a celebrity. No.
Why not? Wait, why not? Why not?
I'm just not that person. Like, I
okay.
like, and even like when I get like these opportunities, I'm like, why do they want to interview me? Like, I'm nobody. And then like, you know, it's just.
Oh,
like,
wait, no, come on. No, how can you say that?
That's how I feel. I'm just like, I'm a nobody. Like, I'm just me.
Well, all right, I'm gonna disagree. Yes, if I can appreciate that you might not want to be the celebrity, the limelight. I get that. You know, it's not for everybody. But you're not nobody because, you know, you've put together an incredibly successful formula. Because also what I've, you know, before the show, I did a decent amount of scrolling on Dine-LI and to get a sense of what was being said, the questions, the comments, the feedback and all of that. And I mean, I did spend a decent amount of time and I got the sense that because of the direction that you and your team have put forth, because of the structure of the group, the culture of the group, if you will, it's very positive.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's light. It's helping. It's sharing. Because if it weren't, like I said, I came across a couple in particular. People were just asking basic questions. I think I remember one with rooftop dining, and one somebody's looking for something for Easter. And there was 100 comments, and you don't have a community if, you know, you don't get 100 comments, rather, if you don't have a community. It's that simple. So you might not want to be the celebrity. I get it. but man, I guess it's the entrepreneur, the business owner and me. I'm thinking, man, how do you not monetize this? It is incredible.
It's a question I get every single day. And even restaurants ask me, they're like, we'll gladly pay you. And I'm like, mm-mm. Like, I don't want that. I mean, like I said, what happens down the road if like the right opportunity comes along where it's, like I said, the right opportunity, sure, why not? Like, I've had plenty of ideas. I bounced them off people I trust and people in the industry, people who worked in the industry for years, and some of them are really good ideas. It's just, you know, they're still not perfect, and until they're perfect, I won't implement them. So it's just constantly working on them. And it's also watching the trends of what's going on. A lot of the things I want to do are not physically possible to do right now with COVID and with people being afraid and stuff like that. So it's just taking it kind of day by day. And, you know, the 75% occupancy is huge. The weddings are huge. You know, the 150 people for weddings, those are big advances. But they're not big enough for what I want to do.
Well, I think you're actually in a good place where you have choices.
Yes.
You've built up something that's so valuable, you know, call it an asset, it's really community. But so you built up this community. You're going to, I don't think as I've gotten to know you just in this interview, it doesn't matter what anybody's going to say, you and your team are going to stay true to your mission. And in so doing, those numbers are going to keep growing. That sense of community is going to keep growing. The reputation is going to keep growing. The brand is going to keep growing. And for you sharing that today, you know, and plenty of entrepreneurs who are not in the food and beverage or restaurant industry. I know that you have had a tremendous impact for business owners who've been scratching their head for years. How the heck do I create an online community? And I think in your own humble, genuine way, you've just given them like a master's class on how to do it the right way. I really mean that.
Thank you.
I really mean that. So, all right, I'm going to hand it over to you. How can people connect with you? I mean, again, on Facebook, it's dine-li. What's the rest?
Instagram is dine_li.
Okay.
I think the TikTok is at Dine Long Island, all spelled out.
Okay.
My cousin handles that. That's the area that I...
You're not a TikToker.
The under 23-year-olds can handle. I think that's it in terms of that. I mean, dinelongisland@gmail.com if anyone has any questions. And then reaching out to me personally on, you know, Facebook or, you know, Instagram or whatever. I'm very open. I love to talk to people. So I'm always good for talking to whoever wants to chat or something like that.
Well, listen, I've had a blast today. I thank you so much. And I don't have to wish you guys success. You guys are killing it, and you're doing a great service. And I think also in particular what you did for restaurants during COVID was tremendous. So congratulations to you and
the
team.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
No problem.
And this is the Profit Express. Follow us each and every week on Instagram at the Profit Express, on Twitter at Profit_Express, and of course on the Facebook page for Profit Express, as great shows like today's will drop each and every Wednesday. Thanks so much for being on board.